Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
A half hour early, because it's a Tuesday. We got the forum coming up at 11:30. Sean Levine from The Drive gonna join us. So we bumped up the Red half hour earlier to talk some Chiefs. We're also excited tomorrow and come hang out with us at Old Shawnee Pizza. We're gonna be out there getting set for their $6.10 lunch special, 7-inch pizza, salad or toast, and a soft drink for just $6.10. So we'll be having some pizza from 10 to 2, having some lunch. You can come by their location in Lenexa to join us for that.
I don't have lice or food poisoning, so definitely come see us. Neither of those things. I'm safe. You should come see us at Old Shawnee Pizza tomorrow. This is our first like real remote that people could come to, so it'd be nice to have some people show up.
Yeah, it might have been a little challenging for them to come to Radio Row in Miami. So,
yeah, that was a bit limited. And then the only other time we were outside the studio was
the parade,
which again did not have really good access specifically to get us. So. Please come see us at an Old Shawnee Pizza in Lenexa tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. I'm starving right now. I could actually go for
seven
a
inch
slice
pizza,
or
salad
two.
And toast, soft drink. Right. Yeah, that all sounds good.
Now, 10 to 2 tomorrow. So it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and I was excited today to see if we would actually get to hear some of the audio of this. Yesterday in the Football Morning in America column from Peter King, he mentioned what would be coming out about a sequence that occurred on the sideline going back to, week two of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it was an exchange between Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy. And it's been well documented locally and nationally how, frankly, ridiculous it is that Eric Bieniemy has not been given the opportunity to be a head coach in the National Football League, despite, over the last 2 years, the 7 interviews. But anytime, whether it's Andy Reid going out at his press conferences, and when he's asked about Bieniemy, or even if he's not asked, right, he's praising Bieniemy for the job he's done and where he's brought this offense along the way. That's great and all, but anytime you can actually, as a fan, or even if you're an owner out there that somehow comes across this audio you're about to hear, like, that can only help his case. People can get a glimpse of what his relationship is like with players, but also his knowledge, frankly, of the scheme that he is utilizing in Kansas City, whether he's the play caller or not. Just listen to this sequence between Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy.
Hey, Pat, yeah. Get your group together. Really ain't nothing to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Let's calm the storm. Be poised under pressure. Get your guys together. Let's go play some team football.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
And when you hear other parts of this, too, obviously that's a brief clip of what is the entire audio of the Super Bowl DVD, but it's the regular season stuff, Gold, that we didn't necessarily get a glimpse of before. Bieniemy comes off looking pretty good, but he comes off with that one thing that people still seemingly hold against him. He obviously doesn't call plays. Now, there's stuff in there where he's memorizing the entire playbook for that game, right? The entire play sheet he has memorized front to back. Every single call, no matter what he needs to do, shaving valuable seconds off of what has sometimes been a slow play call sometimes from Andy Reid, really trying to dial down and make that decision. So all of those things are helpful. The only question is, do teams actually care about, you know, whether a team calls the plays? And my answer is no, because if you watch this, You can't not think that Eric Bieniemy looks really good coming off of this video. And I'm sure you own like 10 copies of the championship DVD or whatever by now.
If you don't, Fesco in the Morning, they've been giving away copies all week.
Okay, so maybe you can win one.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're going to let you win one.
You don't think that's how that
works?
You're
probably going to need to go purchase one.
Blu-ray, DVD, there's also like a digital copy. Hey, you know I'm all about that. The 40-minute mic'd up just from the game. This is the game and the season. Have I watched the DVD? No, I have not.
Do you own the
DVD? I do not own the DVD yet.
Stunning. Stunning
result. It did not come out till today.
No, I know.
So it's a little difficult for me to...
Just kind of thought maybe you'd...
Fesco and those guys... Are giving those away so people can have access to that and everything. But
I'll go get
my copy later today.
I think it's pretty clear that Bieniemy looks incredibly bright and has a firm grasp of the offense. The only question I would have coming out of this is, you know, because I've seen a lot of the highlights, I've read the articles about what's in the DVD and the things beyond it. The only thing you can't know is what is his level of creativity inside of the offense versus what is Andy Reid's creativity inside the offense. But I would tell you that is the exact same question you would have about any coach you were hiring. All of them. Stefanski and others who got jobs above him. You can't really know what their head coaching creativity is going to look like until you put them in that job. And I still think that teams hiding behind the play calling stuff is stupid.
And I still believe that this conversation will not be happening again next year. Because I really do believe Eric Bieniemy will get a head coaching gig next year in the National Football
League. Who gets a job first? Him or Kafka?
Eric Bieniemy.
Do you think
we
it's
know
that
Kafka
that
was promoted?
Answer,
we know that Kafka was promoted over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, last Friday, I think it was, after we got off the air. He was promoted to passing game coordinator, and he's been the quarterback coach, but he's passing game coordinator / quarterback coach. That's his official title. We know there was interest from the Eagles to have him be promoted within their organization, and fortunately, he stayed in Kansas City, and they're keeping him around. We all assume he's the OC in waiting. But you're thinking that
Correct.
There's a chance. Sounds like you're believing that Kafka potentially could be a head coaching candidate next season and not go to the OC right away. And you bring that up because of what we saw from, Zach Taylor over in LA?
What I've seen over and over again, Bieniemy getting passed up by inferior candidates. And that's not to knock on Kafka.
Well, we've never seen
he
that inside his
not-
own organization. Like, I would be very surprised if you wanted to be any excuse that people have for Bieniemy not getting a job, if Kafka leapfrogged him next year and they're in the same organization and one guy's the OC and one guy's the Pat, there couldn't be a more blatant way to make it obvious.
No, they'll be like, he deals with the quarterbacks.
There couldn't be a more blatant way to make it obvious that really why you're not getting the job. If that happened next year, Cody, there's no hiding from it if you're the National Football League.
Or if you're the team
None.
That hires Kafka.
There is no way to hide from it whatsoever if that happened.
It's not that quick.
I mean, I think that it is. It should be a quick answer, Eric Bieniemy, and he should get all of the head coaching opportunities next season, all of the interviews, but I don't think that means that Mike Kafka's not going to generate interest from people. Like, Zach Taylor got a head coaching job just because he was Sean McVay's quarterbacks coach, and Jared Goff had a good year that year. It wasn't because he was overly qualified. He certainly wasn't calling plays. So whenever people bring up the play calling thing, it's Zach Taylor's a perfect example of how that doesn't actually matter. We're just using it as an excuse in this particular circumstance.
It's all a collective anyway. I mean, it's not that the play calling thing is some minor thing to like nitpick on. I really liked in this video, you get to see again more and more the style of coach. You know why? Because Eric Bieniemy can't be Andy Reid. Andy Reid is like the mad scientist on offense who, like, in my mind, dreams and just like wakes up in a sweat in the middle of the night, like, I could use the running back this way in this play. And it all just kind of comes together in this perfect amalgamation. We saw some of that. I'm sure you played the clips yesterday of Patrick Mahomes on the shop. Talk about how he wants Andy Reid's mind. He's like, I'm in there.
Yeah,
and
it was a sequence from Denver. And
zone, zone, zone. And he keeps saying, and I was like, I'm going to call this man beater here like that. And Mahomes like, what are we doing here? That's not what they're calling here. And sure enough, Patrick Mahomes steps out on the field and they're calling zone. He matrix styles, man. He sees the move before the move. I don't necessarily know whether Bieniemy is that or not, but I don't think Bieniemy can be Andy Reid's coach. What Bieniemy has always been phenomenal at is motivation. And that doesn't mean he's not a great football coach, because he's obviously got a good enough mind that he can memorize playbooks and has a full grasp of the entire Chiefs very complicated offense. He's good there too, but he still has to find his own way of doing it, and seemingly people are afraid of his way and shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to be their own individual. You can't try to just copy off of somebody. Now, it doesn't mean you don't take
that
plenty
happens,
of things.
Though. People.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the right way to approach it. But also, I don't think you can say that, you know, you gave the example of you imagine Andy Reid, obviously, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and coming up with plays and things like that. Yeah, Andy Reid is certainly special in that regard, but Eric Bieniemy hasn't even had his opportunity to do that. You know, Eric Bieniemy may be an absolute genius play caller and play designer.
And we don't know.
We don't know. But I mean,
it's hard to imagine
plenty of other guys have been given opportunities to prove that they can be that as a head coach. And some have failed, some have had success. Eric Bieniemy, we think whenever that day comes, because I think it will come next year, if he becomes a head coach, I don't know, I think he'll make a very good head coach, but there's no guarantee on that. But at least give him the damn opportunity to prove himself. And, you know, I think going forward, you know, the Kafka thing's interesting. I don't think it'd be impossible, but I just think there's a different dynamic when Kafka's not calling plays, but also the guy that is not calling plays, in this case, Eric Bieniemy, but who is the OC. It would be just so obvious if you're a team or the National Football League.
You have a lot of explaining.
If Kafka were to get a job before Bieniemy. Now, could next offseason they both get it? Yes. I still think Kafka will become the OC first after Bieniemy gets a head coaching gig finally. And then Kafka, maybe after 1 year of being the OC, could be gone.
Very well. This is a 1 year problem. This year, the NFL has its own different problem, Gold, as we continue to be dealing with the CBA issues, I'd say, across the NFL. Now, here's the deal. They moved the vote back a couple of days, and the text line was asking about this earlier as well. Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306. They move it back a couple of days. They move the franchise back again this morning a couple of days while they wait on the CBA vote. And what this tells me is it's close. You couple that with the fact that players are asking if they can re-vote, and it becomes a really interesting style story. Now, the players voted yesterday that you could not change your vote. I don't fully understand that, honestly. Why wouldn't you allow me? Now, a player should have probably just taken his time, thought about it.
Yeah, see, I don't have voted. I don't have the issue with them not allowing to change the vote. I actually don't have a problem with that. With the votes, they've had a week. They had a week period to place the vote. Some of them maybe incorrectly, and didn't know all the facts, if you will, and they voted within the first hour of getting that email with the link to vote.
Why wouldn't you want the most informed voter? Now, I get that you don't want people constantly swinging back and forth, which is another reason they pushed this vote back, is because they want to encourage every single player in the NFL to vote. So, fine, whatever about the pushing, like allowing people to change the vote back. I do think, to me, that does mean it's close. And my thought is the people who want to change their vote back might have been people, like, I lean towards it was people who went with some of the stronger voices in the league.
For
are now
sure.
Realizing
if they're changing their vote, they're not changing from no to yes. I'm assuming if they're wanting to change their vote, they're going from yes to no.
Against the CBA?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's the other way. I think they'd be going from no, I was against it, and nah, I changed my mind. I want to be for it now. Because I think that they probably realize their own personal financial ramifications when they maybe listen to a rep for their team or a higher priced player and are now realizing just how seriously it impacts them individually.
Yeah, I guess I feel like if you're changing your vote, to me, if you voted so quickly right away, I feel it was more likely you probably voted. You're saying that they just saw J.J. Watt's tweets, essentially, and these other guys' tweets, and were like, no, because
you
I saw J.J. Watt.
It's more likely they just blindly voted yes and are now like, maybe I shouldn't have been voting yes.
I think it goes back to how much are they relying just on Twitter and social media, and how much are actually getting advice from those that may know more than they do, that are more experienced in the language of CBAs. And we saw that ridiculous 400-plus page document. Like, how many people actually read through that? And maybe it did take some time for people. They didn't take as much time as they should have initially. I don't think moving the vote back means what you maybe think it does, which sounds like, oh, it must be close. I don't think that. I think it's also trying to get a little bit more of a unified front. I mean, overall,
it's too late.
Because the perception is terrible. And if you're an NFL owner out there, anytime you have this dysfunction, if you will, within the players union, it only strengthens you and it weakens the union as a whole. And so I think this is, I don't want to say necessarily what the owners want. I don't think that they're flat out wanting the players to be arguing, but it definitely helps their case when they're not a united front. It makes it harder for them to negotiate anything going forward. And this is the reason why the strike stuff is never going to happen. They're never going to really hold out. They're never going to risk not playing football because they're not going to ever get enough people on board to do this. And this, you know, a lot of unions can be unified. The NFL players, you can go back to 2009 or whatever it was, they weren't all on board with it either. This is the issue that they have because you have so many players that are on different playing fields, truly are, in terms of what they're making, their longevity as an NFL player. It's not truly equal whatsoever.
For me, owners do want them to fight. 1,000%. I will go that far. Owners want players to fight. Like, if I were the owners right now, I might just pull this deal and be like, "Now we changed our mind. 20 games. You play 20 now. Now make a decision." Because the players look horribly on different sides in this, which gives any leverage they had, they now don't have. Because the owners know that they're divided. They should have just formed some front and done this quietly, and they refuse to.
I think this probably happens in most collective bargaining agreement negotiations. It's just, this is the first one that every player is on social media now, and everyone is being vocal about it. So we actually got to see that happen in real time, where it was like, at first, everybody was with Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt and all these high top dollar players. And then all of a sudden, some of the lesser paid guys who were still prominent within the NFLPA start speaking up. And now all of a sudden, there's discord between the Players Association. I think this probably happens every CBA. It's just the first time we're actually seeing it happen in public view.
Well, that's a good point. I could see that, where now the videos people are doing, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick being for it, you've got his opinion being voiced out there, whether it's the tweets that are calling out the CBA.
But
that's stuff
like
that maybe we haven't seen.
Suing their own leader. Like, D'Amore Smith is being sued by players for bad faith negotiations. That's bad. That's a really bad look for them. Also, you know, the last time he was voted on, I think, was 2017, and he was unanimously approved. So you don't like the leadership. Either change the leadership on your team or tell the leadership on your team that you don't want that guy in charge. Because when you start unanimously voting people into office again and again and again for the last decade, then whatever. Like, how am I supposed to feel bad for the situation you're in? You put D'Amore Smith in charge. It's hard for me to say that you should be suing him. Shocking, he wants to get the deal done so his check clears. Right? He doesn't have your kind of money. He's like the lower-end players. He's just like them. Now, he's been doing the job a lot longer, so he's better off than that. But still, I mean, you gotta. It's not surprising that he would be voting in favor of this deal. You just have to, like, for the players, they look so bad. Actually, he makes $2.5 million a year. Oh, my God. Boy, they were complaining about Tony Romo money. Like, at least if you're going to have a problem with the guy in charge, why wouldn't you just...
He's a lawyer on his just on its own in general, and then you add in what his role is for the NFL and the amount of money we're talking about that he's negotiating. I'm not surprised that the dollar amount's that high.
We're talking about...
Overall, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Well, he's negotiating a $1 billion deal.
So it makes sense that he would be getting paid that kind of money
to
negotiate.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, if you've got an issue with it, you've got to find a way to take these, like, just internally take down the system. Like, some of these players are, like, today they vote on their NFLPA president, right? And you got players pushing for Michael Thomas, not the receiver, the defensive back, over some other guys like Sam Acho, another choice for that candidacy. If you want certain types of leadership, you get the same option to vote. Just like you can vote in an election today or primary today, you get an option, right? You get a say in these things. So just vote. Like, if you're a player, you can't pretend like, "Oh, this system's against us," and then go against it. The CBA, everything being pushed back to me does mean that it's close. And it tells me a lot about the player's position right now. It doesn't tell me what the CBA is going to look like in the next 10 years. But it tells me this time, I thought they had more leverage than they actually do. I thought they had more leverage.
Players. Yeah, this thing's passing anyway. So, like, we can go through and talk about how bad it looks, and it does. They're going to have the same issue 10 years from now. No, this thing's going to... You don't think this is passing? And it doesn't matter if it's close or not. It's just a simple majority. It's not going to matter. The players, ultimately, 6 months from now, people are not going to be bent out of shape about it still if this passes.
I mean, I think there will be some players. I think it just tells me, it doesn't tell me anything about, yes, if it passes, we know there's 10 years of potential labor peace before the next deal comes up, although it came up a year early, obviously.
Yeah, you can negotiate early if you would like.
So I do understand that version of it. But again, I thought the players had more power this time around and still didn't choose it. Sam Acho, one of those guys up for NFLPA president today, had this to say about the CBA.
Fact of the matter is that this is both a good deal and a not so good deal, depending on what kind of player you are. 65% of players in the NFL last year made minimum salaries. So when you talk about a 20% increase effectively year over year in exchange for one extra game, that's a really good deal. These are the kind of players that get excited about a fourth preseason game because that's another chance for them to show the coaches and the team their value. These are also the players that get excited about an extra playoff game because for them, that's a pay raise rather than a pay cut. But there's a different kind of player that this deal isn't as appealing to, and that's the superstar player. Here's why. Franchise tags are still in place. If you look at last year, 111 players were restricted in some way, shape, or form. That's 111 out of 1,900. It's about half of 1%. Those players are going to love this deal. That franchise tag and the transition tag restricts them for free agency. Also, you look at the fifth-year option, which affects first-round picks. 32 first-round picks aren't going to like that deal. But let's not be fooled. This deal is a really good deal for a majority of NFL players who, like most Americans who work, get paid more if you play more. This deal eliminates superstar economics, and it brings everyone up with a tidal wave.
The money still has to be spent, and Sam Acho is right there. That's why I told you I thought if there were players trying to change their vote, that to me it would more likely be guys who voted, like, you know, guys who are like, maybe I should be voting for this deal anyway, who originally voted no, just thinking, yeah, I'm with you guys. No, we should get more. And then like, maybe we don't, maybe we're good. Maybe we're good and just want that check. I'm fascinated to kind of know how close it is. I do still think it's going to get approved. But I want to know how close it is because one way or another, it does tell me something about the league and where it stands.
Next week's going to be nuts. Next week's going to be crazy because you're going to have, you know, you're going to have the end of this CBA as far as the voting process. We assume it's going to be voted. Yes. And so you'll have that. You're going to have the open legal tampering window. You're going to have NFL free agency starting next week. And so like next week's going to be nuts as a whole.
And then, the, you know, just the NCAA tournament. No big deal. With or without fans.
We don't know about that. After the Ivy League, who knows how all that's going to shape out up as well. Continuing here on the Chiefs Red Half Hour. So Pro Football Focus, we've had those guys on the show, Steve Palazzolo, a couple different times. They do their podcast a couple times a week, and they went through every single team. They 5 minutes they spent on to fix every team, and they joked a little bit about the Chiefs. They said, well, we're really not fixing the Chiefs. How are they going to repeat, essentially, is how they phrased it. So they went through and gave their kind of 5 minutes to fix the Chiefs, and where they started probably shouldn't be all that surprising for Chiefs fans, the number one job for the offseason.
That's what makes this a great spot for the Chiefs, is that they just won a Super Bowl. They have the most talented quarterback in the league playing out of his mind and apparently only just learned to read defenses like a week and a half ago.
That's not what he said.
And your defense wasn't good. Like it went from being awful to being reasonable, right? Took a big step forward, but there is massive room for growth in this defense. So you can spend this entire offseason essentially throwing everything you have at trying to make a defense that's good. Then how the hell do you stop the Chiefs in 2020? So job one is franchise tag and extend Chris Jones. Like, keep him in the building. Whatever you need to do, don't let him leave. If it's only 1 year, fine. But do not let Chris Jones be playing for a football team other than Kansas City in 2020.
You want somebody that's going to alter game plans.
And he can.
Up
right
there, right?
So, yeah, he can take over games in a way not many defensive linemen can. You should not let that leave for almost any reason.
Priority number one. You want to repeat? Your defense got better, and you still have room to grow. You're going to take a step back if you don't have Chris Jones on your roster.
I'm telling you, man, the NFL is about star players in the playoffs, great players in the playoffs. We saw that in Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, and it's another reason, and one thing also mentioned on this podcast from Pro Football Focus that I agree with, that I have told you to just go after the best possible wide receiver you can get your hands on. To hell with getting value at 45 for the, or at 70 for the 45th best player. Get the 15th best player at 32 or get the 15th best player at 27 and move up in the draft. They also mentioned, or at least one of them, suggesting the idea to go up for wide receiver.
What if they really try to break the league? Everybody's like, again, when people do mock drafts, it's like, where's the need on this team? Oh, they don't have a name at running back. Let's give them a running back at 32. So we've seen, you know, running backs mocked at 32. And we've seen, you know, people, Eric has come back and said, oh, well, everybody that says this guy's gonna dominate, he's going to eat in the Chiefs scheme, right? And like, that's kind of the point, right? Like, Damian Williams ate in this scheme. So continue to just put the next running back out there, let him eat in the scheme. I want to know, if you really try to break the league, Sammy Watkins, let him go. Mm-hmm. Get the next big receiver. Get another one of the, in this receiver-rich class, right? Don't let the league catch up. You're an explosive offense. Don't let the league catch up. You need some, you know, Tyreek Hill's been banged up a little bit here and there. The offense is a little different without him there. You got Mecole Hardman. Get another receiver to add to that mix. Really break the league.
And honestly,
and he went on to say, take him with that first pick in the first round, that first pick that you have in the first round, which is what you joked a little bit about Judy or whatever. And I don't think you really think they're gonna be able to get that, but I'd
be fine if they did that though. So like joking is only, I don't think they'll do it.
Yeah. But Judy, they would have to trade up. He's just saying, I don't think he's saying to go trade up for a wide receiver. He's just saying to take that wide receiver at 32. Don't be afraid to do it because of the value that's going to exist there.
Yes. Again, I think there's better value. Like that was the question Daniel Jeremiah posed to us last week, which was, would you rather get the 40th best player at 70 or the 15th or 20th best player at 32? And you're saying, well, there's more of a difference. So clearly it's the 40th best player at 70. And I'm telling you, I think I'd rather have the upper end talent and have the 20th best player at 32.
I just don't think wide receivers
is
big of a
upper end talent.
You prioritize wide receiver more than I do in this upcoming draft. That's all it is. I mean, I've told you for me, corners is more important. And so whether they have the 32nd pick or they trade around, you know, I would rather them go corner and go ahead and get that wide receiver in the third round. Yeah, it's not going to be a top 15 wide receiver, but it still could end up being a top 30 wide receiver, if not better than that, when it's all said and done in the draft and creating some value there. We'll get to more of what they had to say on the Pro Football Focus podcast about the fix for every NFL team. Up next, though, in studio, Sean Levine, the sports machine from The Drive. It's The Forum on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We're back here on Cody and Gold. It's time for The Forum. Sean Levine, the sports machine from The Drive, in studio. Dusty Likens as well. Sean was showing us a...
I gotta burn this pen, Gold.
...pin that you bought, and it's like a pin you would have got in elementary school.
Yeah.
It has like the five different colors. You push down one side, it gives you the red, or the other side gives you the blue.
Yeah.
And for some reason... You were just drawing on Dusty's little
Not
back.
Drawing. It has a stamp on it. Because
let's get real stamp with it. As well?
Yeah. Let's get real with it. I shaved a little spot on my back, and Levine put that on there, so we're good.
I don't know what to do with it now because I can't
smell
touch
it.
The top. No, I'm not going to smell it. That's disgusting. It just touched your regional
you
area.
You both now have coronavirus.
I hope not.
And so do you two because it's that contagious. So
we
join
got
the
hand
club.
Sanitizer in here. I'm going to use
no
that
No one's
again,
leaving
actually.
The studio for the next 24 hours. Which is fine with me.
Be kind of like the weirdest way to do a radio marathon ever.
Or business as usual.
That's why, that's the only reason why, for those that remember early on the show, when we first started, the first time I met Dusty, we didn't just shake hands, we hugged. That's the only reason why him and I did not hug today, the coronavirus. Normally, we'll get back to that.
You guys are normally on hugging terms.
Yeah, we normally are. Sean and I, just a handshake, but...
I was going to lick his forehead, but that, you know,
No handshakes or anything right now.
Have you guys reached for the Clorox wipes at like the same time to where like you touched hands and then you just like look at each other like Jerry and...
Man, I've got kids. What am I trying to prevent?
Yeah, kids aren't worried about it, though. Like
the kids aren't
they're
really
good.
Getting it. It's older adults that are.
Let's be
dangerous.
Real. We're all good. We're fine.
Yeah, that's what you think.
He's.
That's when you think you're good.
He's a little sick.
I called my grandpa. He's like 90. He's like, Grandpa, are you worried about this? He's like, it's coming for me, whatever. Uh-oh. Like, I'm not. Like, fine. Come at it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I appreciate, honestly.
That's the right attitude to have. Once you're 90, like whatever it is,
yeah,
come at
happen.
Me.
Yeah,
I beat everything for so damn long. Like, you know, you know how many coronavirus, and I'm not trying to downplay, you know how many coronaviruses type of things that your grandpa has seen over the years? I mean, damn, he's probably feeling like, you know, it's
I mean, if I
one.
Get to 70, I'm happy. Like, that's house money right
I think
there.
His idea is like, to hell with it. Like, if this is the thing that's coming to get me, then come.
Yeah.
Like, fine. Good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I like the attitude.
So what caused you to cause your grandpa? Like, you were concerned?
It's just that.
You guys just sat on your couch one day and you're like, oh, Gramps.
I better make sure he's fine.
I better get myself out of the way before everyone else forgets.
The phone my grandpa uses has the biggest numbers. That and the remote control.
My grandpa's officially healed text now.
Ooh,
he's moved up.
Emojis?
That's fantastic.
Nah, don't
your 9-year-old grandpa texts is actually awesome.
I wouldn't say
that's
he texts
fantastic.
A lot, but like if I miss his call, he'll call first. If I miss the call... He'll shoot me a text and be like, hey, Cody, call me when you can.
You ask him what's for dinner, he sends the eggplant emoji? Okay, Grandpa, we're going to talk about this.
I don't think I've ever gotten an emoji or photo
yeah. from him.
He sends you the peach? But, oh, thanks.
But he's at least, he's got a handle on the texting game, at least a little.
Oh, man. This is taking over the world,
It's crazy. The Ivy League canceled their conference basketball tournament.
Italy is in lockdown, and they have the biggest, probably the biggest world star in the world in their soccer league in Cristiano Ronaldo, and they're down. Like, that's how much they care about. Like, they're just done. Like, no sports, anything.
They've also had they've been hit the hardest.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So they just don't, at this point, they don't have a choice. Like, there's some economic things they're doing, too.
Right.
Like, they've paused all mortgage payments for Italian citizens for the next few months. Because they're really? Like, they can't go to work. Yeah, people can't make money who runs small businesses.
No income.
Like, there's no income for anyone. If you run a small business, no one's coming to your shop. So they're like, just don't pay your mortgage.
Do you get paid more if you're a nurse and a doctor because of the risk that you're taking?
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know that's not how it works.
No. I just feel like everyone in Hollywood right now is going,
I'm on the radio. I'm not a doctor. Right. I don't know how the hell that works.
Hollywood writers right now are just going, we tried to tell you. Like, here it is. And there's just more movies of this coming. Like, there's going to be documentaries.
Is there a good movie about that, though?
Contagion?
Yeah, for sure. What was the Ebola one?
By Steven Soderbergh?
You were very quick.
Contagion is good.
Did you just watch it the other day? I was say, you did probably just watch it. Is there some people who are like, oh, there's an epidemic going on?
It is a good movie. That's the one where the chef doesn't wash his hands, right? Shakes Gwyneth Paltrow's hands.
That's
awful. Yeah, yeah.
And then she dies.
Yeah,
but Matt Damon cries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Matt Damon is the, I don't know.
What? This was a great plot synopsis, by the way.
I mean, the trailer really gives it away. So if you haven't seen it, you could have easily learned that.
Yeah, it's good. What about Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman?
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
Did that other movie you were just talking about make money? Like, that was a real movie? Somebody took that to a director? Was like, I got this idea.
Contagion was fantastic. I thought it was great.
I think it was critically acclaimed. I don't think it made that much money.
Interesting. Yeah, I never even heard of it.
People don't like real life scenarios coming to Hollywood.
Sounds nasty.
Hurts.
The fact that Ivy League canceled is scary, though, because, I don't know, maybe I'm just
still going to the Big 12 tournament this week, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll see you there. I'll be sitting next to you, so wash your hands a lot, Gold. But
sick. I'm definitely moving a few seats over.
I don't blame you. You wouldn't be the first one, too.
Yeah.
The Ivy League, those are smart people, the way that I understand it. And if they've decided to cancel their league, you know what I mean? Like, if it was some high school in North Dakota, I'm like, whatever, you know, you're overcautious. The Ivy League, like, if anybody knows something that we don't know, it's going to be the Ivy League. That's kind of scary. They're all going to be doctors and lawyers. They're not going to be radio hosts and idiots.
I trust these guys.
I don't think they're like all medical school. Like, there's schools on the West Coast I would trust more when it comes to med school.
Do you remember what we got in our Wonderlic test? Cody did all right, so you can't talk for this because Cody's like
not doctor level,
impressively smart and an athlete. Who knew? But the rest of us can be involved in this conversation.
Hey, speak for yourself. 25. Thank you very much.
25 is nothing compared to Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Brown.
Neither is 29.
That's what I'm saying. They would smoke that. They're smarter than us. They know something's going on. They've canceled their tournament. I'm not going to the Big 12 tournament there.
That's where it finally hits you. You're like, man, if the Ivy League canceled because they're academic, you're like, to me, it hit me just because it's a major conference, you know, essentially a major conference, and it related to the NCAA. I didn't think the NCAA tournament had any chance of being impacted. Now I'm like, oh, this actually could happen. It had nothing to do with the fact that they're, you know, some of the best schools in the world.
No, it definitely shows you, though, that it could have. If a Division I conference is willing to do this, then what's the next step? And I kind of heard you guys talking about this earlier. If a player gets it at any level,
or is exposed to someone who has it,
then it's over. Then it's over. Then it's like they got to really shut down everything, because then panic sets in and parents. And I'm talking about like at any level. If we're at a Division II whatever field hockey game and there's fans
there.
The AIA
championships will be in Kansas City like next week.
Perfect.
Right?
If it's not actually imperfect, because what you just said in Kansas City has a worst case scenario. But that's what I'm talking about. If you get a crowd of several thousand people and a couple of players or a coach gets it, and then everybody thinks they're exposed, then the other teams and everybody that's traveled, then the S really hits the fan, and then they cancel everything, and then nobody makes money, then they don't play games. And then it becomes really, really serious. And I feel like, I'm not trying to fearmonger or anything, but that's kind of the next step. Like, if a player gets it, then all hell breaks loose, I think. Especially if a professional player gets it. And especially if it's like you guys were talking about earlier. You guys brought up, I think it was you, Cody, like if LeBron James gets it, everything shuts down. Everything closes down.
He's already refusing to play without fans. Like, man, I'm not doing this if they're not in here.
He's not refusing. He said he wouldn't like to play without the fans being there. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they'd play games in front of no fans here. I think that they would just wait to make the revenue back and just move it back a little bit. But I don't know. It's
unprecedented. Conference tournaments. Yeah. You only can't, you move back is like the start of baseball season.
Yeah, you can't move
but then
back.
You still have to shorten games at probably some point if you're going to actually consider doing that if you're a league.
Well, yeah, the academic year goes all the way through May. So, I mean, technically, you could move this stuff back, right?
The issue you would have with that is a lot
You'd
of these
have to
guys.
Move the whole tournament, too, I guess.
A lot of these guys have the combine for the scouting cup for the NBA. Like, these guys, as soon as the tournament is over, they leave school. They don't finish their spring semester. If you're going to the NBA,
yeah.
A lot of these guys don't even finish out the spring semester.
But again,
you know
I think that would be moved back, too. I think if this goes down, and everything
so you
starts
need the NBA draft and that gets pushed back too because they would have to move back the draft and everything.
That's what I'm saying. If the first domino falls, then everything's affected because like you were saying, you can't just say, okay, we're not going to play the conference tournaments, but we're going to continue with the NCAA tournament. Or you can't just say we're going to have the NCAA tournament, but not have the combine or we're going to move the draft. Everything, I believe, if what I'm talking, like worst case scenario happens and they actually have to stop these leagues for a while and don't play at all, then yeah, it shifts the entire sports spectrum, at least for a while. And when I say it's unprecedented, it really is. Like all these other ones we were talking about with these movies, like the Ebola virus and all this other stuff that's happened, it's never come down to this, right? Like sports, it's never gotten as close as it is right now to affecting us and our sports, right?
What would be the most awkward thing to watch live without you? Like I was thinking about this the other night. Like I was thinking, okay, hockey would be weird because there's nobody banging on the glass. Like,
Basketball, you just gonna hear all that squeaking,
which would be weird.
Baseball, we saw a couple years ago.
Yeah,
they had the riots in Baltimore. Right, and there was that like empty stadium game. It was like
you could hear conversations in the dugout. The other thing I thought would be kind of random, which is just a random sport, would be like, what if like in the WWE, there's no fans and they're just blaring music and bodies slamming on the mats. There's just nobody there because like they chant during this thing. And I mean, that's another sporting event that like. Be weird to watch without fans. Like, I just think it'd be interesting.
They should, like, WWE would have to, like, Home Alone it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And just put a bunch of, like, cardboard standouts.
And McAllister out there with like ropes.
It's 2020. We could have hologram fans.
It'd be way easier just to cancel.
It
would be way easier just to cancel, like, SmackDown or whatever it is.
It's
like,
just
that'd be way
interesting
easier.
To think about, like, this is where we're at, to where, like, you could have these multi-million, billion-dollar sports teams playing without any of its supporting... You know, without the wallets that go to the seats that pay for these franchises to be so successful with money. And like, here we are, like 2 weeks from opening day. What's it going to look like at Kauffman Stadium? Like, people can be like, well, it's a down year for the team. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, plus you throw in this coronavirus. Nobody wants to be there. Like, can I get the crown? I think they're still called the Crown Royal seats behind home plate.
Normally about
two, Crown Club, normally $240 a pop. I mean, I'm risking it for a $40 ticket to sit right behind home plate on opening day. Are you kidding me?
I think an opening day that cheap for the Royals.
With nobody there?
But, I mean, we looked up, you know, Big 12 tournaments
There's one
this
fan.
Week in Kansas City. And as of right now, ticket for Wednesday night's game, which is not exactly a game you'd expect.
Right.
It's always
bucks.
Pretty low.
Why not?
$7
Thursday,
to watch some collegiate basketball.
Yeah, what's
Power
Thursday?
Five.
Thursday evening session. So not the KU one, but the Thursday evening session, it's also $7 for one, you know, on the crappy seat.
Is that Baylor, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Baylor.
Number 14, number 5 team
and
in the
And then
country.
Championship tickets right now, as in before the tournament.
And these
started,
are up top?
They,
yeah, before you can get in for the championship game on Saturday, presuming that's KU and Baylor for $50. And I think it would probably go down from there.
And you know you can move down. Because you know when like nobody's there, they're going to be like, we got to fill this lower area.
I think it's going to be weird. I don't like when we're out there later this week, I'm not going to go Wednesday night, but I'm going to go Thursday after the show. The crowd is, I think the Big 12 tournament is just going to be more like all the other conference tournaments. For years, the Big 12 tournament's been special. While the Pac-12 and Big 10's been kind of empty. The Big 12 atmosphere has been fantastic for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
KU, K-State, Iowa State fans and all that. This year is going to be just more like all the other conference tournaments have been for years.
But part of the reason is because there's no question. Nobody has anything on the line other than like Texas needs a win.
Sure.
Kansas is the one seed. Baylor is a two.
How many teams in the Big 12 are making
it? Everyone else is in the tournament is in four or five depending on who you ask.
Jerry Palm yesterday thinks Texas Tech has to win in order to get in.
Like one win?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all you're talking about is like teams with like a very small percentage of things on the line.
Baylor wins it. They're a one for what it's worth, I think.
A one.
Baylor's still not overtaking
Kansas.
No. KU's the number one overall no matter what happens. They don't have to show up.
Nobody even has anything on the line. This tournament doesn't have the same amount of heat it used to.
And you throw
only because like the conference wasn't really competitive this year. And to me, Kansas completely separated itself from Baylor as far as quality of team, too. Like Baylor's proven to stumble down the road and that defense first teams eventually have to score and they can't score.
Well, the other thing, too, is you just look at the two head coaches. Like, when it came down to crunch time, Scott Drew was fine all season, and Bill Self was just one loss in the Big 12, whereas Scott Drew had a chance to even just be an outright winner. Then it was just like they could co-share it, and it was back-to-back, and it was TCU, and then it was whoever they lost to at West Virginia at back-to-back game. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it seems like this is just that year for Kansas, doesn't it? Like, it just seems that, like, you look at everybody who's around them. Yeah, there'll be a lot of Johnson County that'll be at the Sprint Center this weekend. I don't know how much of, like, Iowa State fans will be there because it's not worth it. Plus, you throw the coronavirus scare in there as well. But this just kind of seems like that, doesn't it? Like, it just kind of seems like this is, like, what Bill Self's been playing for. Like, this is what they've been playing for all year. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what the stipulations were going to be. And it seems like they're just owning the heel role, and they're rolling with it. One loss in the Big 12. And the Big 12's not strong. Still four, maybe five teams getting to the big dance. But here's the coach that knows that there's allegations coming. They don't know what's coming. But now the NCAA's in a pickle because what they want to suspend is now the best team in the nation, and it's a middle finger, and KU's rolling with it.
That would be very similar to what we saw a couple years ago with North Carolina. I mean, North right. Carolina won the national championship. Everybody knew about the fake classes and the notice of allegations sure. that were hanging over them. They ended up getting a slap on the wrist, really nothing, ultimately. I don't think that'll be the case this go-around. But that's why I've said on the show, and I don't know, Sean, if you have the same thought
process.
Kansas
could drag this thing out for years.
Mm-hmm. If it goes to federal court or whatever at that point in time, maybe you'll be serving on a jury, Cody, just like you did the other day.
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
you'll
get selected. So you didn't make it.
Nope.
So have you guys been on jury duty before?
Twice. Hated it.
Twice? Zero. How have you? You're
I was
unlucky.
Like chicken
Must
pox.
Be nice.
I thought once you do it once, it's over with. No. You had to do it twice.
No, you get drawn back in the bowl like every 3 years. So I had to do it once. I made it to like the final four? I don't know what they call it. It was down to like 30. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, I understand.
Mine was federal court. So it was like all 37 of us were pretty much in there the entire time.
Did they call you up and have you talk?
You didn't know till like they made everybody give a rundown of some of their
Brutal.
Information.
I mean, I don't want to say what I had to like go to court for, but it wasn't comfortable and like it was very weird. It was like, I guess I won't give you the full detail, but it was like something to do with like child abuse.
It is certainly settled by now. Dusty.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But no, but he just, the topic. No,
yeah. And so they go, jury 16, would you please stand up? They're like, this guy wants to move from prison to like a, like basically like get into like a halfway house where he could be like, get outside everything. They were like,
you're about to give us his name.
They're like, there's a small, no, I'm not. They're like, I don't even remember the guy's name. And they're like, there's a small percentage he could reoffend. Do you think he should be out? And like the severity of like this case, I was like, absolutely not. And they're like, is that your, like, are you sure about that? And I was like, 100%. I sat back down. The guy next to me goes, they're not going to select you. And I was like, do you know that? I was there all day, though, and it was downtown. And then the second time it was Independence for, like, a medical case. Like, a patient died because of anesthesia, and they wanted to sue the anesthesiologist, which happens all the time.
Their insurance is the highest rate for, yeah.
And I was like, man, I can't put money on someone's life. And they're like, okay, like, you know, are you sure about that? And I was like, yeah, like, bye. But there are some people that are like, I just can't do this.
Have you
seen the Curb episode about when he gets? Yeah, good Lord.
There was every type of person at this.
There
was a football coach, like a high school football coach, who's like, oh, I can't trust. Yeah. I can't trust.
Did he have his whistle with him? Did he have?
No, but he was in like a quarter zip. It was like a whole outfit that went together. Like he was going to practice.
He's like a gym teacher from Daria.
he was ready to go, and he's like, can't trust subcontractors. Deez was going to make her jerseys.
Oh God.
Didn't have him on time. Went XR. Went Under Armour. Can't trust him.
Amp it down,
but
Coach
it was
Williams.
Like, there was a one of every color.
Did you get the George Brett video?
No, because it's federal court. Ours was Sandra Day O'Connor.
Really?
And Justice Roberts.
Shaved head?
Telling us, nah, the video was quite old.
Oh, no, that was Sinead O'Connor.
That was, yeah. So, a bit of a difference. But it was, no. The local mostly one. We just sat there and I assumed... I hardly spoke, which was a bit concerning for like my maybe getting selected.
And that's weird too. Nobody
but they didn't
recognized
ask me
you.
A lot of questions.
Well, I told him he should
really?
Have
because
himself.
I just stand up. They make you say your name, the county you live in, your occupation. So I said, you know, I work in radio.
Boy, you went with that right away, didn't you?
Are you under oath? Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
lie.
Know who I am.
He should have. No, I think Cody Tapp. I think he downplayed it. He should have said his
identity. Oh, y'all would have gone full accent, yeah. Lied.
And then everybody would be like, who the hell are you?
He should have been like,
Cody and Gold, 10-2 on 610 Sports Ready.
I don't know who Levine is.
Yeah, so I sat down and the guy behind me goes, 610. That was it.
Yeah, because I think they tell you that in court. They're like, if everybody's like recognizable, like you have to like point people out and you can't do it anymore.
Nah, partner, I'm Buck and I'm a farmer. That's what I'm going with. Full accent and everything. Nobody's known me.
Yeah, they're going to select you.
Actually, can't you just walk in there and like tell them it's like, don't you got flat feet or something and then they won't let you in? Or is that the army? Isn't there something that you can tell them to get out?
You could say like religion or you could say like you have like you're a, like if you're like a medical person or you're like a firefighter or a police officer, they don't want you there because they want you out.
I got an MIP when I was like 19 years years old. I wasn't supposed to have beer, and I did. Isn't that going to prohibit me from being on jury duty? No, that's not enough.
No, dude, you're
actually more qualified.
Yeah, you're really? Locked in.
Damn it, I thought that was going to get me out.
You should have seen qualified. The poor 19-year-old kid that just looked classy. I'd like, please don't pay attention.
There's nothing worse than when, like, okay, so like when I've gone twice, the guy, like the judge that sets everything up, is like, okay, we've got two court cases today. Obviously, there's a lot of you here, so if your number's not called, have a good day. And you're literally sitting there like the opposite of like bingo, waiting for your number to be called. And they're like, all right, number. And then they call your name, and it's like the worst possible case scenario. Because everyone that doesn't get called is like, yeah, all right, day off. Get my $4 check to send into my...
Federal court's $50. But also, it was like, again, it came down to just 8 people, and there were like 10 people you knew weren't going to get selected. So I was like one of 24 that was going to go down. And you're like...
What was your outfit?
Number one is this. I went quarter zip jeans, tennis shoes. Didn't want to look too nice.
As Twitter said,
oh, I'm going tie dye and a bandana.
We should have actually altered the show bet that we had where you're going to wear the thrift store outfit on your date with your wife. You should have had to wear that.
There's your bit you missed.
To jury duty. Court.
Sir, why are you wearing that? I lost a bet.
You might have got out of there quicker. You would have been there all day. You were there for like 6-8 hours.
Nobody got out quicker except for 2 people who went to explain personal medical issues.
Oh, yeah.
Like to the judge secretly.
Now,
Now,
those are the only 2 people who got out quick, and I don't have some embarrassing medical thing. She's kind of
like coughing up a storm, like Corona, and they're like, "Get the hell out of here, man!"
Did you see the story today? A flight got diverted, I guess.
Oh Jesus!
Because somebody was sneezing and coughing on the plane, and a bunch of passengers freaked out and like thought this person had coronavirus.
Believe
like,
it.
They caused a major disturbance on the flight. They had to divert it to Denver. Of course, they test the person on the plane. They're like, "Yeah, it's just allergies." And the people that were causing a ruckus got kicked off the flight by law enforcement.
That's all right. You're going in Denver. Nuts. That's fine. You can hang out.
There's worse places to be.
Yeah, go to Boulder, whatever. It's fine.
Cody, you don't even know this, but you sent out a tweet over the weekend talking about putting your car in park in the drive-thru, and it got me. I was like, what's wrong with that? You were criticizing those that did it, and I talked about this yesterday with Serta.
It's a weird behavior.
No, well, it depends on where you're at.
Do you guys not? If I'm in a line and there's not just one car in front of me,
I don't know if anybody's been to the Chick-fil-A in Lee Summit.
You better be putting that thing
in
park.
It is brutal. I mean, you are there for at least 10 minutes. It's blessed day to be there though, and it's their pleasure, and they're out there with like a what do you call that?
An iPad.
An iPad, like a platform to just be like, hey, what do you want to eat? Here's your name. Here's your car color. Here's this. All right, keep going. You don't even order there anymore. The line's so long.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll pop that in park. But I do hate the guys that put it in park and realize they've forgotten where they're at. So you're just kind of looking around to try to get around them, but kind of a weird situation.
Those Chick-fil-A employees are good, though. Second best in town behind Quick Trip, I would say, in Kansas City. But yeah, you're right. It gets a little bit frustrating.
Hey, you put it in park. If there's 2 cars in front of me and it's taking a little while, you put it in park. Why is that a weird thing?
So you're just constantly putting it on the brake.
I did it yesterday again.
It's not that hard to put your foot on the brake.
Never
not
done it in my
7
life.
Minutes. I want to be.
You've never done it?
I've been sitting there for 7 minutes.
My car in the park.
I feel like this is something that would piss Steve off really bad.
It depends if you're
somebody that's constantly have to, like, hey, you got to drive. You keep seeing the white lights.
Why does it matter?
It just seems like wasted effort.
Yeah, kind of.
Do we all have automatics, or do any of us drive a 5-speed?
Automatic.
I used to have a stick. That's nice.
I miss mine, man.
I had a Sonoma.
I miss that. Can you guys all drive a stick, just out of curiosity?
It's been a while, but presumably.
Okay. I can't. Absolutely not.
Because I think it matters in the drive.
What was your stick shift car?
I had a Honda Civic and a 1993 Mercury Topaz.
God, I'd do anything to see you in a Mercury 93 today.
I had a 93 Mitsubishi Eclipse. It was a 5-speed. I loved that thing until it left me stranded on K10. Might still be there.
Levine's had more cars than like people have been recorded with the
car. I know. I had to take him to the airport. His car was broken.
You have no idea.
You had to take him to the airport? Was there any like negotiation? Like, hey, I'll give you money?
Well, he had me at a... I didn't have much leverage. I was a week into the job. CDOT didn't answer.
What do you mean no leverage?
I knew what I was doing.
You have all the leverage in the world. Without you, he's not going to the airport.
To be fair, all these other guys live in these
CDOT
weird places.
CDOT did not text you back. I knew that's why you texted me.
Come on, dog. You thought I was counting on that guy?
Fesco lives near me.
He's supposed to be on right now.
You didn't text. Yeah, he is supposed to. Where
literally.
Is CDOT?
Supposed to be on as we speak. Come on.
Doesn't respond to a text, but tweets.
By the way, the NFLPA has elected their new president. And of course, it's not either of the two we've talked about today.
Who is it?
J.C. Tretter.
Who?
Oh, for the Browns?
Yep.
Nice pull.
I don't know.
Senator
don't know.
Probably That's knows his stats.
How many fantasy points?
He's a lineman.
There you go.
Individual IDP. How many points in IDP? We need the stats.
Speaking of fantasy, Serta and I's fantasy podcast comes back tomorrow. Hey, you can check it out on the website if you like to. Yeah.
That's why Dusty came in.
That's right.
Fantastic.
I mean, fantasy football is right around the corner, man. I mean, soon you'll be doing your drafts quarantined.
Gosh, I hope by August.
Will they allow local fantasy drafts to go do the like?
Man, I hope by August this thing is passed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It'll be gone in 2 weeks. I don't want to say that because then I'll probably get it. You make fun of it, it gets you. You saw the guy in Florida. He made fun of the virus. Next thing you know, he's in quarantine.
The coronavirus is listening, Dusty.
It gets you. You got to be careful with the Rona.
Good time to be in the middle of the country.
Is it? I feel like everything like a draw is here.
I mean, it's going to get here.
Like, we get it last. Everybody else is like, oh, you got it? We had it like 3 weeks ago.
You can't tell that's exactly what's going on. It started in Asia and we were like, eh, whatever. And then you hear about Italy and then you hear about the coast. It's
how
like,
did they wait. Cancel James Bond's release, but like Mulan's still going off? Like, in the most populated coronavirus area, they're letting that movie go through. And here's Serta and I just completely pissed. We've got to wait till November to see Daniel
upset
Craig.
About the Bond
delay. Yeah. Who's your favorite Bond, by the way?
Brosnan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sean Connery.
There you go.
I'm named after Sean Connery. S-E-A-N.
You're not a Bond guy?
They're all fine.
They're all fine. Roger Moore is terrible, but that's Serta's favorite, so I don't want to get too hard into it.
It's not true.
Who's your favorite? Daniel Craig?
We don't have time. We got to go to break.
All right.
Dusty and Sean, thanks guys for stopping by. Take some hand sanitizer. Use that on the way out. And we don't want the door getting contaminated, especially you, Sean, especially you. Coming up in the noon hour, we get to what's trending and who's back in the NCAA tournament first, Mizzou or Kansas State?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.